Hello.
Welcome to Tom and Lorenzo's Pop Style Opinion Fest.
We're here to render judgment on the worlds of celebrity, pop culture, television, and fashion.
Strap yourselves in for some hardcore opinionating, darlings.
This is Tom and Lorenzo's Pop Style Opinion Fest.
We're Tom and Lorenzo.
And this is the Pop Style Opinion Fest. Hello, kittens. Welcome back to another edition of the PSO. I am the T in your T-Lo, Tom Fitzgerald. I'm here with the Lou in your T-Lo, Lorenzo Marquez, my lovely husband.
Hello.
Lorenzo, how are you this week?
I'm fine. Just busy watching a ton of stuff.
What are you watching?
I can't talk about it. But I've been watching a lot of things.
That Netflix-y thing.
There's several Netflix things that I can't talk about right now. But
I forgot you were watching that last
night.
Yeah,
I've been watching a bunch of stuff.
I should ask you about it when the mics are off.
And also the Queen, it's also available now on Netflix.
Yeah, but we're going to handle that on the site. We're going to do an announcement about that.
Yeah, but anyway, I'm excited that it's on Netflix. There are a ton of stuff on Netflix. New season's coming up of very popular shows that I can't talk about, but... It's great to get screenage, but then you get very excited to watch it. And you're like, I can't talk about it.
I've seen the first three screeners of Picard, and I don't want to give anything away, but I'm still left hanging after the third episode because there's still things I'm waiting for. And I'm like, God, I got to wait a month to find out when this gets resolved.
Well, that's the thing with screeners. I just want to talk a little bit about it. You got screeners because you're press, you're promoting shows and so on.
Because you're reviewing them. We're not promoting them.
Well, reviewing is a way. Anyway, it's still a way to promote them. Anyway, so you get screeners, and then they establish the date. You can talk about, you can announce it, and then there's another date for writing a review. So they establish all these dates when you can even say anything. And because of social media now, you can't even say anything on social media until it's the correct date to announce that they have that specific show. So sometimes you watch something and you have to wait months. So it's great because if you like the show, you watch like six episodes, but then you're stuck.
Right.
You have to wait God knows how
long.
Although
Netflix has a tendency to eventually release everything pre-air. We saw all of season three of The Crown literally 2 months before it aired.
Right, right.
Whereas like with Watchmen, we got the first three episodes before the first episode aired. And then before the fourth episode aired, we got three more.
Yeah.
And I think that's how it went all the way to the end.
Netflix usually gives you everything, but like HBO or any other show, they give you a couple or...
I mean, the fact that we got all nine for Watchmen is actually a little unusual.
Right.
I do not think we're getting anything more for Picard. That is more the norm, is that they send out the first three episodes and that's what critics review. In fact, this was a bit of a controversy this year. Because the morning show on Apple TV with Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
It came, the pre-airing reviews by critics, we didn't even ask for screeners. We didn't ask for any of that Apple TV stuff because, an independent site has to weigh. For instance, we did a Picard review this week, and just by nature of the fact that Picard is on CBS All Access, the response to it's going to be much lower. Even Watchmen and Game of Thrones, it was a specific HBO audience. It wasn't a broad general audience. And you have to weigh that as a site like ours, whether it's worth the time to write these long reviews for relatively discreet, small audiences. What was my point? What was I talking about? Apple TV.
Yes.
I'm sorry, rambling. We were not planning this part of the conversation.
No, but
as per usual, Lorenzo threw me a curveball.
But it's nice
this
to
concludes the
things.
Only sports analogy you're going to hear for the rest of this podcast. But so we were intrigued by Apple TV, but just we made a choice where we're like, how many people are going to be watching these shows? How many people are going to click on a review? Sorry, folks, we're in an industry where how many people click and look at something is how we get paid. So anyway, first three screeners went out and apparently they were rough. A lot of times with streaming television shows, their first season, that's very common where the first two or three episodes don't really get you up to speed yet.
Right.
And you don't really see the potential. Now, this is a flaw in modern television storytelling because of serialized television stories, because of binge watching and streaming platforms, there's a lot of bloat. And so this morning show these screeners went out, they weren't the best episodes. They were kind of rough. They were not, you know, the show was trying to get its feet under itself. And it got panned. It got pretty bad pans across the board. Well, Jennifer Aniston just won a SAG Award for this role. And it turns out the rest of the season is much better.
Right.
And many critics have said by the time they saw the end of the season, which they didn't get to see in screeners, they were surprised at how much it had improved.
Right.
So
it's also, again, the internet and social media, people were like rushing to put things out. To write things, you know, write reviews or whatever and be the first one out there with a review. You see that a lot at midnight. You know, they're posting their reviews. And sometimes people rush things and they don't actually watch the whole thing, have a bad idea of what it is. But that's just the nature of publishing things on the internet. I mean, we get emails all the time. Hello, where is whatever?
Right.
When we were just taking our time sometimes to just do a better job or to have a more unique approach to whatever is already spread out there.
Right.
So it's complicated. Screeners also, a very funny thing about screeners is that sometimes they give you screeners, but it's not the final editing version of the episode. So sometimes you get an episode where they're pointing at something and it's not there
yet. Or you
get
the green screen scene.
Yes, there's
no background.
Yeah, like I was watching a Netflix show and they're watching on the computer something, but there's nothing on the computer.
Right.
And they tell you, we'll add a graphic later.
Insert
here.
Computer graphic.
Yeah, here, it's very funny. So all that stuff happened when you're watching a screener, because, you know, that's why when the show airs, I usually want to watch it again, because sometimes it's a little different. The experience is a little different. So that's the world.
That's
of
our
screening.
Little primer on screeners, which was completely unplanned.
But people ask about it. People ask how, you know, screeners work and so on. So yeah, there are a lot of rules, and sometimes you get an email.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were finishing.
I'm sorry.
But Lorenzo has more.
I have more to say. Sometimes you get an email with bullet points about things you can't say or not say. Do not reveal this. Do not say that this character died or this character. Don't talk about the character's development yet. So you get all these rules that you have to follow. And I understand, you know, you don't want to spoil the show. So yeah, you have to follow all that stuff. That's why sometimes I get very excited about a show, but I can't talk about it at all because they haven't announced a date yet for the premiere of the new season or something like that. Anyway, so that's it.
This concludes Lorenzo's instructional guide to screeners and screener culture. In other TLO news, we're going to be saying this at the top of pretty much every podcast for the foreseeable, is that, you know, book stuff is ramping up. We just got a ton of stuff from our publisher today. Very exciting news about the marketing plan and the swag and all that stuff. And it's really a little overwhelming because this is not our first time as authors, but we were a small press last time, and this is Penguin this time. And
it's a little
different. So the support, it's a little overwhelming in a good way, but the support this book is getting from Penguin in terms of how they are pushing it and marketing it and promoting it and branding it is just amazing. It's like nothing we've ever seen. And you have to understand, Lorenzo and I, we made our current careers doing everything ourselves. Doing everything ourselves.
We still do
and
most of
our
it.
Motto mm-hmm. in life for the last 10 to 15 years is, you know, we'll do it better if we just do it ourselves. And that has gotten us to where we are. But when it comes to something like a book campaign, it's really nice to have one of the biggest publishers in the world behind you and doing all that work.
You have to have all these people with their experience and professionalism coming to you and say, well, we can do this. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. It's awesome. It feels
awesome.
Great.
We work from home with no staff, with no interaction. That is 99% of our lives and our professional lives. So it's very interesting for us to have to sort of, believe me, I have no problem surrendering control because I'm in the hands of people who are experts.
Right.
And who have the same goal that I have, which is to sell my book, our book. So it's not that it's hard for us, but it's strange for us to just be like, oh, okay, let's look at the swag you came up with. Let's look at this and that and the marketing plan. And, you know, that's not our lives normally because we do everything ourselves normally. You know what you can also do yourself is pick out the perfect furniture with Joybird. Your furniture should suit your needs, but also feel uniquely you. That's where Joybird comes in. With over 50 fabric and leather options, 3 shades of wood, and over 250 unique silhouettes, do the math. Joybird's got a lot to choose from. The days of settling are over. Whether your style is more mid-century modern, boho, or you're not sure, Joybird's Instagram gives you a daily dose of what's trending in the homes of their customers. Bring your mood boards to life with hundreds of customizable pieces and over 50 fabric options. Whether you're more of a neutral beige or a bubblegum pink person, it's built by them and created by you. Need a sofa in a golden hue or a love seat in the hottest red, an inviting baby blue, or even a plush green velvet? Joybird's got your back. Joybird offers a range of kid and pet-friendly upholstery options so that your creations can stand the test of time and the wrath of your furry friends and toddlers.
Ooh, I like that. Pet-friendly fabric. I like that.
Yes, I like that too. I mean, we had 3 cats, and believe me, we know how difficult it is to keep your furniture protected, and we know how rewarding it is to be able to design your furniture yourself. Mm-hmm. We have done it, and it makes such a difference to your final decor, because it is, you didn't settle for some other version, some other designer's mass marketed version of a couch or a chair or whatever.
It's worth the time, the money, mm-hmm. and everything, mm-hmm. because then you end up with something that is going to last a long time and you're perfectly happy with it.
Joybird has free fabric swatch kits available to let you see and touch all their fabrics and help you make the perfect choice. And there are free personal design consultants to help you go from inspiration to creation. Each Joybird produced piece is made with the ultimate care and precision, real wood without all those harmful chemicals, and they use responsibly sourced materials. All Joybird handcrafted pieces come with a limited lifetime warranty. Sit on it. Oh, and a 365-day home trial. Sit on it, sleep on it, and break it in. If you don't love your Joybird, return it. So, create furniture that matches your own fearless style at joybird.com/Lorenzo. Go to joybird.com/Lorenzo and receive an exclusive offer for 25% off your first order by using the code Lorenzo.
Yes, Lorenzo.
Thank you, Joybird. All right.
So,
next up is, well, we have 2 things we're going to do this week. We're going to, of course, do our Project Runway recap in the second half of the show, but we thought we wanted to weigh in a little bit more on the pop culture story of the week. Although, interestingly enough, the nature of pop culture is so, the cycle is so rapid now that this feels like it happened 2 weeks ago.
I know, it's so funny.
Of course, with the impeachment going on and everything, I think people are feeling information overload at the time. So, and again, this may be why this all happened, but the world briefly went nuts for Brad and Jen all over again earlier this week. Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston had an on-camera or in front of the press cameras reunion backstage at the SAG Awards just before Jen walked out to receive her Best Actress Award.
Which is awesome because it's a moment of triumph for her. It was just nice that she was there, she was being recognized. And the whole thing happened, and a photographer happened to be backstage and took pictures, and they're very candid shots, you can tell. I mean, maybe they posed a little, they knew. Celebrities in general know that there's always a camera somewhere, and they're never completely off guard, but it looked candid, it looked like a real moment, mm-hmm. I think, that they were, kind of like happy that they were there. And that, they greet each other in a very friendly and warm way.
I agree. One of the things that really struck me about the response to this was how much everybody responded when Brad and Jen had this reunion. It was all on social media as it happened. People who were watching the show saw it happen. And the social media response first was immediate and overwhelming. And then the next morning, as the pictures became more public and people were going to sites and stuff like that, it was showing up in the news. The media response was overwhelming. And as is the nature of these things, immediately the pushback came.
Right. There's always backlash.
In fact, I think it's only, I'm actually a little surprised that there haven't been a lot of think pieces written about this by now. Although we did pop up in one for the Huffington Post. We were contacted right. and asked to give our thoughts because
we're Tom and Lorenzo.
We're Tom and Lorenzo, and people just contact us for our thoughts on any happenings in pop culture now.
Well, we wrote a whole book about it, so that's
true.
That
oh,
too.
That's the thing. Thank you for bringing that up, Lorenzo.
Yes,
we're going to talk a little bit about this, not about the gossip behind it, but the meaning behind it. Why?
Right.
Why do we have these reactions to things? This was the gist of the Huffington Post article. And we gave her a lot of material to work with in our responses. It was written responses. We did this over email. And she only used a bit of it because that's the nature of those articles. It wasn't a profile of us. She was asking a bunch of people. So she picked one or two things out. But because we gave her probably 500 to 1,000 words, we thought, you know what? We actually did write a book on this already, and
right.
this is absolutely playing out exactly in an everyone wants to be me or do me sort of way. So why don't we talk about it since it's the biggest pop culture story of the week? So here's the thing. Yes, it was inevitable that people were going to have a really strong... we posted the next morning how we were almost embarrassed how strong our reaction was to
right,
this.
Right, right, right.
Because...
kind of touched by it.
Yes, believe... I mean, initially, our initial response to those photographs was...
oh, my God.
But
oh, yeah.
Then we got over it. Because, again, we never really had a thought in our heads about their romantic, like, except how it plays out in the culture. But we were not invested in this in any way. I'm not team Brad or team Jen
yeah.
or team Angelina, believe me. And I haven't spent much time outside of having to write about them on the red carpet or whatever. I haven't spent much time thinking about their romantic lives or personal lives. But people reacted this way for a lot of different reasons. One of which is they are the, you know, chief romantic celebrity tragedy of the last probably
right.
generation or so. And there is one every generation. And we can all roll our eyes at this sort of thing. But these things play out again and again and again going back 100 years. We are in the age of celebrity. And what that means is celebrities become stand-ins for our own emotional states. This was largely the gist of Everyone Wants to Be Me or Do Me. So when people like us who are not team anyone, are not part of any fan club or stan reaction, when we have reactions like that to these pictures, to these developments, that's because we are having we're bringing our own emotions and our own experiences to these pictures. We all know what heartbreak is like, whether we felt it ourselves or whether we had friends who we had a nurse through it or whatever. We all know what broken relationships are like for the same reason. And we all probably have someone in our lives, maybe ourselves, who the breaking of that relationship was a huge tragedy to them and
right.
a very hard thing for them to get over. So when you see two people who are essentially the modern avatars for a broken marriage, you say Brad and Jen, that's all you have to say. That's all you have to say. Their
That's
entire
the
romantic history
yeah.
is played out. And the fact that he broke her heart and left her for the, you know, who was largely considered the most beautiful woman in the world at the time. And she spent several years talking about her heartbreak. They are iconic. When you talk about divorce, when you talk about broken marriages, when you talk about infidelity, when you talk about the other woman, and you layer a celebrity, you know, meaning of it, those are the names, Brad
right.
and Angelina. 50 years ago, it was Liz and Dick, you know, there were Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton. Or Elizabeth Taylor and Eddie Fisher because she broke up Debbie Reynolds' marriage, that sort of thing. These things happen and people get invested, and they get invested because they are bringing their own emotions to it. Of course, there are fans out there who are deeply invested in whether Angelina is being done right or whether Jen's heart is being broke. You know, there's team everybody. But I think the vast majority of people aren't like that. And when they do have these reactions, it's not because they're fans. It's because they're seeing something human
right.
in these iconic figures.
And I also feel that they see development. They see...
that you can get over something.
That you can get over something, that they're closing a chapter, I guess, you know.
Right.
And that out for anyone to see. And I think they're happy for it, for them in a way.
Right.
At least that's the feeling I got. When I saw the picture, I was like, oh, that's nice. You know?
Right.
Because they fucked up. They had all these issues, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But now they're, you know, they're at a point in their lives that they can actually talk to each other and smile to each other.
Right.
I think that that's a development.
I don't want to overstate this with, because I really don't want to be mean about it. But one of the things I actually really loved about those pictures was, how to say this? They looked their age. The miles were on them.
Right, right.
I mean, they're both very beautiful people, and we see them in very beautiful settings. But these were candid pictures backstage, and they were both having emotional reactions, which means their faces were not perfectly composed. And the maturity of the two of them was very evident in those pictures.
Right.
So, and as someone who was in their age group, I'm like, yeah, I mean, when you've gone a lot of miles, it's
right.
so much easier to forgive the people who hurt you along the way because you've traveled those miles. There was that sense of two old lovers who have just reached a point where the past does right. not matter to them anymore. I do not have any fantasies about their romance continuing. I don't care either way, but I don't really think that's what was happening in those pictures. And I also have to admit, we should be fully put it all out on the table here, because we did write a very cynical book about celebrities, is that they were aware of the press they were going to
God,
get.
Yes,
I'm not saying the entire thing was perfectly planned. I don't think so. I think they, as it unfolded, the two of them were such old pros that they realized, oh, wow, this is really going to.
Right.
And it did. It hit big the next day.
I don't think there's a moment in a celebrity's life that they don't sense attention or a presence of something.
Exactly. They
camera,
weren't unaware the cameras were
a
there.
A fan.
Right.
The public or something. I think they get to a point that they can only feel that way inside their homes. I mean,
right.
The minute they step out, they know that they're watched.
So everything in some way is a performance.
Right, right.
So if you want to be perfectly cynical about it, yes. They knew it was happening in front of cameras, and they both knew it was going to be the big story of the night and the next day. I'm not saying it was planned. I'm not saying they didn't have genuine emotions on there, you know, that they weren't feeling genuine emotions in that moment. But they were aware of the cameras. I am just more fascinated by the idea of celebrities as avatars of
right.
our own emotional states. And one of the things, I think it didn't wind up in the Huffington Post piece, but we said to the reporter who contacted us, was that these are the first pictures of the contemporary pictures of them side by side
right.
in the same space in 15 years, which means nearly an entire generation of people have not seen a contemporary picture of them side by side. So that was, and because they are iconic figures, Brad and Jennifer, they are single name iconic
right.
figures. So to put them together after 15 years when we never, I mean, I can remember when, you know, Angelina and Jennifer were at the same Golden Globe ceremony and it was a big deal and they were tables apart from each other and
right.
they were never photographed near each other. And I mean, it was a big deal that these three people never be seen at the same event for many, many, many years. And that's another reason why I think people reacted. So, I mean, I did guess because I have not seen a picture of them together
right.
since they were young. Again, the other thing that we focused on in our commentary was the fact that whether staged or not, whether coincidence or not, happenstance or not, those pictures were incredibly romantic in their composition.
Right.
The picture of him grasping her wrist as she turns away is just incredibly romantic. I know it's a split second thing and it doesn't, you shouldn't read too much into it. And some people thought commenters thought he was grabbing her hand and, you know, preventing her from leaving or whatever.
That's
and honestly, that's not how it plays out on video.
No.
One of the things I find, I don't know, you can read a lot into body language and I understand that. He is grasping her wrist as she turns away, but her hand is flat up against his chest, which is an affectionate gesture. That
right.
is not the gesture of someone who's trying to pull away. If she was really trying to pull away, she'd be making a fist or something.
Right.
There's no tension in her hand. It's two people literally touching each other, patting each other, grabbing the hand, saying congratulations,
right.
and moving on. That is it. That is all that it was. It just played out in front of cameras. And these are two of the most tragically romantic celebrity figures right. of the last generation.
You have to keep in mind that when a celebrity is on the red carpet and posing, that's a whole different story. Backstage, you know.
Yeah, it's frantic and insane.
The photographers have like 5 seconds to take a picture. You know, the photographer was very lucky that he got those shots and that type of emotion, because sometimes they have seconds to take a picture and they don't get a good picture. That's why you see backstage pictures. Sometimes they're not really good because
right.
they don't have a lot of time. It's not like they can stop these people and say, can I take a picture? No, they're just going and taking pictures as they go.
Right.
So there were great shots, showed how they felt in a way,
right.
I think. And it's just nice because she's in such a great place now. She's been nominated.
I'm happy she won a SAG Award, actually.
I think
actually.
She's a great actress, actually. I don't think she gets enough credit for her work.
I will say she has not always made the best choices for herself.
I agree. But, she's a comedian. She's very funny, but she's also a great actress.
Right.
So I'm happy for her. And he also did a phenomenal job in Once Upon a Time.
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. They're just having a good year.
They're having a good year. He had a lot of issues.
Well, I want to get into that. One of the things we were asked by the Huffington Post reporter, and I don't believe it made it into the final piece, was what do you think about the fact that everyone's having this reaction, but no one's really acknowledging the fact that he cheated on her, number one.
Right.
And that his last marriage ended in a rather ugly manner with Child Protective Services being called in and charges of him being... he wasn't violent. I think he was aggressive towards his children. An argument broke out. There was a single event where CPS was called. And Angelina was, at the time, making noise that she didn't want him around their children. I think that has since been resolved. So we were asked about this by the reporter. And what we said was, and I firmly believe this, this all goes to the press cycle and the vagaries of the press cycle, because as Lorenzo noted, she's having a great year, he's having a great year professionally, they are both at the same award ceremony at the same time, and they both look pretty great. I mean, Jen never stopped taking care of herself, but Brad did right. for a long time right. when he was with Angelina. He actually looked like crap for the last half of that marriage. He was doing that biker look and him showing up everywhere looking really sloppy. And he's trim and tan, and the hair is dyed blonde and very cut, and he's presenting the best version of himself that he has
right.
the public has seen in several years. And this is very shallow, but that is what people are responding to. They're responding to, like, they're ignoring his ugly past because he looks great and he's having a great year, and that is how you respond to celebrities. That's how they go up and down the celebrity scale. The other factor in this is Angelina. Right now, things are very quiet with Angelina career-wise. She just announced something that she's directing or producing today, I think. But she hasn't been up for an acting award in quite some time. She hasn't made the award season rounds in a few years. If Angelina, for whatever reason, had that kind of year and she was also up for awards or whatever, or she was also attending these events, then the reaction would have been completely different. Then it would have been much more scandalous if Brad and Jen were carrying on like that with Angelina sitting somewhere out in the audience
right.
or something like that. Then, yes, I think it would have been almost entirely negative, the reaction to it. But Angelina's kind of in the background right now, and these two are kind of in the foreground right now, and everything about the celebrity world is who's hot and who's not. And right now, two hot people who are iconic in the eyes of the public just gave all of us
right.
this incredible photo moment.
It's very funny with celebrities and red carpet and fame and moment, the zeitgeist, is that they take turns.
It's who's up and who's down.
They take turns. It's like,
yep.
It's your turn now to be on every cover of every magazine and red carpet and so on. And then now it's your turn.
Right.
And they keep taking turns and they take advantage of that. They know how to play that. They know it's coming. They do.
It's built into their careers,
right.
especially long-term ones like Brad Pitt, who has been a star for almost 30 years now. Those people, those legendary stars who have had careers, you know, A-list careers that go on for decades, they really know the ups and downs, and they weather the downs. They see them coming because they've been through it like 3 or 4 times already,
right.
and they plan for the next up. And when he was going through the divorce with Angelina and his press was terrible, that was the down period. And
right.
he and his team probably spent 18 months to 2 years planning this exact outcome. I'm going to take a couple of high profile roles. I'm going to do some prestige projects and I'm going to try and get it. I'm going to clean up my act and I'm going to be out there on the red carpet accepting praise. This is all planned. And the really, really good ones who have been at it a long time, the Meryl Streeps, the Nicole Kidmans, they understand this. They understand the ups and downs of it, which is why you will see sometimes like Meryl Streep. She slowed down a bit in the last year or so, but there was like a 5-year stretch there where she was accepting every single role that was being thrown her way. And they were prestige roles because she was at an up point in her career. But I remember 10 years ago, people thought her career was over. Late 90s, early 2000s. Well, that's way more than 10 years ago. But people thought her career was coming to an end. She was doing kind of low, you know, she wasn't doing prestige projects anymore. But again, this is their this is why I loved Mark Hamill during the touring for the last two Star Wars movies, because goddamn, that guy was enjoying the hell himself.
Well, he knew exactly what he was
having.
Because
nobody knows better than Mark Hamill. Oh, will all be over in a half hour.
Right.
So he just loved every minute of it, and you could tell there has been no illusions that he was going to have this height of attention anytime soon again. He's gotten a career boost out of it. He's doing a lot of work right now. But there's just that understanding. And he was someone who, he went from the highest highs to you know, he's had a very good career. I'm not slamming his voice work and the other acting work that he's done. But the level of attention that the Star Wars films brings is just, you know, very few actors get to experience that level of attention.
Right. So this moment with Brad Pitt and Jennifer Aniston, it's great for them. It's great for everybody. Because
it's great PR.
PR for everybody.
Even
involved.
Angelina can milk
that. Yes, exactly, exactly. And I feel great for her. I feel good for her. I mean, I'm happy for her. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm happy for her because, you know, Brad Pitt married Angelina Jolie, and they were, you know, quote unquote happy, and then they moved on, and she was the one broken in a way, being interviewed by every magazine and people asking her the same questions over and over for decades.
And now they're all going to ask her about this.
Yeah, so now they're going to ask her about that. So I don't know. I hope she's in a happier place now and, you know, doing great with her new movie.
I never thought she wasn't in a happy place. I mean, first off, that happened 15 years ago. She's had another marriage since then that came and went with Justin Theroux. And I always felt like Jen wanted to enjoy the fruits of, like, apparently she lives a pretty good life. She's got a lot of really close friends.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
She takes really good care of herself. She vacations a lot. I think she vacations in Mexico. And she's a big weed smoker. So I think Jen is living her best life in a lot of ways. She looks great. She's had a string of very hot men in her life that come and go. But I think it's been in some ways good for her career to focus on her heartbreak a little bit. And I think she's done that every now and then. But I never truly thought Jen was... I say Jen like she's my friend. Jennifer Aniston. I never bought that she was some heartbroken, sad woman. I think she's doing just fine. I've always felt that. Anyway.
I agree. Anyway, that's it. We're happy.
I don't care about them.
I'm very happy for them.
I thought it was a fun moment for us to examine why we have these reactions and what celebrities actually mean to us.
Right.
And it is, you know, when they're around for a really long time, it is kind of hard, no matter who they are, not to feel some slight form of affection towards them, because, well, you've kind of seen them from their youth into their middle to old age. You've seen the ups and downs of their lives. You're not friends with them, but you know the outline of their life. And it's kind of hard not to develop some sort of feelings for them.
Right.
So people, if you gasped or if your heart swelled up or you got all excited about the pictures, don't be embarrassed by that. Whatever. It's a natural reaction in this day and age.
I think so. Yeah.
Getting obsessed with it, getting caught up in it, and getting into arguments
online.
Yelling
at other people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's when we are like, no.
Yay, okay.
Sign off. All right. all right. Why don't we take a break,
yes.
I guess, and we'll be back to get into this week's Project Runway. We'll be right back. This portion of the podcast is being sponsored by a product that is near and dear to our hearts and other body parts, Astroglide Personal Lubricant. We actually clapped our hands with glee when we heard they were sponsoring the podcast. We thought it was so much fun that we would be able to talk about this as a product.
Why not?
You know what? It's part of our lives. It's part of a lot of people's lives. Personal lubricant has a lot of fantastic uses in your sex life, and I don't think there's any shame in talking about it. Astroglide's been a big part of our life, and I'm sure it's been a big part of a lot of your lives out there. And did you know Astroglide Personal Lubricant was invented by a rocket scientist in the 1970s?
Wow.
That's how it got the Astro in its name. And no, I did not know that prior to this. Lube is a great way to enhance sexual pleasure, no matter your age, gender, or orientation. It doesn't really take a rocket scientist to figure out why wetter is better. But research does show that you can experience significantly more sexual pleasure and satisfaction with lube. And you don't need a reason to use it other than wanting to add more variety and pleasure to your sex life. And that includes solo play. Astroglide offers 10 different formulations of lubricant. Water-based lubricants are the most popular kind because they're lightweight, easy to clean up, and can be used with most sex toys.
That's very true.
Yes, I know. And did you ever think you'd hear Tilo use the phrase sex toys?
No, all
silicone lubricants have a unique silky feeling and are hypoallergenic. Silicone also lasts extra long and it's great for water play. Astroglide also has an ultra gentle gel and a glycerin and paraben free liquid. Both are perfect for people with sensitivities. So, for out of this world pleasure, put some Astro in your glide. Go to astroglide.com. That's astroglide.com now to order your free sample. That's astroglide.com. Thank you,
Tilo.
Astroglide
approved.
It's Tilo approved. Very much so. Thank you, Astroglide.
Talking celebrities, pop culture, TV, and fashion. This is Tom and Lorenzo's Pop Style Opinion Fest.
We're back on the Opinion Fest, and now we're diving deep into a very colorful episode of Project Runway, guest starring artist Ashley Longshore.
Yeah.
You go ahead on that.
Well, she's very famous. She's bright and loud and colorful. And she's actually very talented, I think. She does prints. I mean, she's a painter. And then now she does prints.
Right.
And I think I love these challenges when they have to design something interesting based on a certain print. Sometimes they create their own print. And this time it was a collaboration with Ashley Longshore, which I love. We've seen so many collaborations. I mean, we post them on our site all the time. H&M or Target or any major store having a collaboration. I think they're interesting. I think they're fascinating in a way because I agree with what Nina Garcia said and some other people. You have to understand the person, or you have to understand the person you're collaborating with.
You have to meet them.
You have to meet them. You have to respect their work.
Right.
You have to represent their work in a way, and at the same time, be true to yourself. It's not an easy thing to do.
No, it's not.
But it's a fascinating thing to do as an artist, I think. Mark Jacobs did that a lot for Louis Vuitton. In fact, he became famous collaborating with a bunch of very, very important artists out there, creating, you know, you saw the bags. The bags had all kinds of prints and things on them with every collaboration you can imagine. So I do love these things. I think it was a great challenge. The prints are great. And the thing with working with print is that it's not an easy thing to do because you tend to rely too much on the print most of the time. And there's very little design. So you have to be careful creating something that looks interesting, but at the same time, I don't know, respecting the fabric.
Right.
Respecting
the artist.
The print and the artist.
Can I just say, I don't like her artwork at all.
Okay.
Just to offer a counterpoint here, although I actually do agree with everything you've just said, it's just that I didn't love her artwork. And the problem with these print challenges on Project Runway is that the designers, the fabric is very, very cheap. It's just cheap printed cotton.
Right.
And they are expected to do high fashion things with it. Now, you could take the, I guess, more charitable view and say that this is the challenge. The challenge is to use cheap fabric and print that is hard to use. Like, Ashley's prints are not they're easily not easy. Translatable to fashion.
To translate into
so fashion, that was built into it. And in that sense, it actually was a good challenge. When they first introduced her, and I was like, ugh, it's going to be ugly, cheap fabrics. And for the most part, I stand by that. It actually was ugly, cheap fabrics. But that's the challenge. And some of the results were actually quite good.
I agree.
And everything you've said is true. The other part of the challenge is, like, Victoria was having this problem and the judges were having none of it, which was she doesn't like prints. Well, this is the challenge.
Right.
You have to figure out how to work with stuff that is outside your comfort zone, whether it's cheap, whether it's ugly, or whether you just don't like prints. That's the challenge. So
I agree.
I did roll my eyes in the beginning, but then once everything started unfolding, I was like, no, this is, they're actually working their asses off to make something
here. I do like the part when she, Ashley, came into the workroom and worked with them.
I was actually shocked because she is an artist. I shouldn't dismiss her so much because she actually gave great advice.
Because she knows her print more
than
anyone.
She's visually oriented.
She knows why she designed that print and, you know, and what that print, represents.
Right.
So I thought it was great that she was in the workroom and she kind of talked to them about the design and their creation and gave them some advice. That combined with Christian Siriano, I have to say, Christian Siriano is awesome in the workroom. I think he's really, really good.
Yeah.
He speaks as a designer, a well-established designer that he is right now, with a lot of experience designing things. But also as a contestant on the show.
Right. I mean, he does something that Tim never did, which is he will give them specific advice where he told Dai Young, this is the kind of sleeve I think you should put on here.
Right.
And she actually went and did it.
And
Tim never said stuff like that.
No.
He was always trying to lead. Like, it's the difference between someone who was taking an educational approach and someone who was taking a practical approach. And Tim was always trying to lead designers up to their own, to try and boost them and inspire them to come up with the right solution.
Right.
Christian is like, been there, done that. I know what you're running into. You need to do X, Y, and Z to fix this.
Right. He'll say something like, I don't like this. I don't think this is going to work. And then he explains why.
Yeah. It's much more technical.
Right.
Much more practical.
Much more based on experience than Tim was able to do because, Tim is not a designer.
And this is why, nothing against Tim, but this is a lot of the reason why his role devolved into chief hug giver on the show, because he was not giving practical advice. And if you're going around constantly giving, you can do it, I'm inspired, make it work. Well, then that's what happened with Tim, is by the end of his tenure on Project Runway, he would come in, say he was concerned, give someone a hug, and move on to the next one.
Right.
And nothing was illuminated about the design process or about design itself, whereas when Christian does it, you see it. You see the practicalities. You see the thought process behind design. I don't want to shit on Tim. He and Heidi are right now promoting their new Amazon show. And actually, it's not going to be Project Runway, but it actually does sound promising. The lineup of people and experts that they have coming on are very impressive. The fact that they're doing at least part of it in Paris is interesting.
Right.
And the results of that show are going to be a lot more. First off, I think the prize money is something like $1 million. And they're being set up with their own line. It's all way more end focused than Project Runway is. So I will be interested to see that when it comes out. I will be interested to see how Tim's role is featured on that show, because I really hope. I felt that he was frustrated with how he was being portrayed on Project Runway in the last few seasons, even though he was a producer. So it'll be interesting to see what he's doing when he's allowed to create his own show. Anyway, back to Project Runway.
Right.
Go ahead.
So we had Victoria, a little bit of the drama here. We had Victoria. Didn't like the print. First of all, I don't like prints, and then I'm gonna pick one that I hate. Okay, great. That's gonna go well.
Honestly, she picked the one that was closest to her style. It had a black and white stripe to it.
Yeah. So, but I think you need to be a little more open.
I agree.
If you are A, on a show, and B, and if you're a contestant on a show, and there's a prize, you can't just. I do get it, and there was a lot. This episode of true to myself, I have to.
They always say crap.
I have to be myself. Right. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, whatever. You have to be yourself, but at the same time, you have to. whatever product you have, whatever, you know, whatever you come up with, whether it's a dress or a painting or whatever, I mean, it still has to sell.
I agree.
The product, whatever you're creating, whatever form of art you're creating, it still has to appeal to somebody.
I agree.
Otherwise, you just do it for yourself. That's the soul of an artist, is to, you know, do something for the public, for, you know, for the, I don't know, for the world out there.
Right.
So it can't just be, oh my God, no, I'm going to do this because this is what I like and, you know, screw the world. Okay, great.
Well, this is like Sergio, where he's just like, it doesn't matter to me what the judges think. I'm like, you're in a competition.
You're delusional.
Like, what are you doing here if it doesn't matter to you what the judges think?
Right, exactly. And that's not the way to approach things, I think. Anyway, so that was that.
Also, I think we're going to see some drama between Victoria and Dai Young next week, because Dai Young almost collapsed again this week, and Victoria spent time making Dai Young's garment.
Oh, right.
And and, you know, Victoria wound up on the bottom, and Dai Young wound up on the top. But then again, you know, Victoria said she was done 2 hours before the deadline, which you should have spent those 2 hours assessing your look. But I have a feeling that's coming up again. I'm a little concerned about Dai Young.
I think she's overwhelmed with the whole thing. Listen, we've done...
Well, there was that scene where it was implied that she wasn't eating.
Yeah, I think she's overwhelmed with the whole thing, and that she's putting a lot of pressure on her, and I think it's just she's having... I don't want to diagnose anything here, but it feels like more like a panic attack or a pressure.
Yeah.
It feels like she's overwhelmed with the whole thing, and then...
Those production schedules are grueling.
They are. Listen, it is absolutely horrible. We've done reality TV shows before. We've done a couple of things, and we were just in for like a day or one episode, and we spent the whole day shooting. Imagine these people shooting every day, getting up every morning, and the pressure to do something, you know, interesting, not just the grueling schedule, but also the pressure to do well.
Agreed.
It's a lot.
It is a lot.
It's a lot. Anyway, so I sympathize in a way, and, you know, it's unfortunate for her, but that's what happens sometimes.
Yes. Is there any other issue before we get to the runway? Storyline?
No. Aside from the fact that Sergio is an asshole.
But everyone's in agreement on that.
He was the last one picked, and everyone apparently doesn't like him.
He is just somewhat hilariously clueless about how he's coming across on camera. He really does. He's like the Wendy Pepper. He really has no idea how he's coming across.
And the results are horrible. That's the point.
That's the thing. Well,
that's
Wendy
the thing here. Yeah.
Not to badmouth.
Deceased, because
Wendy passed on several years ago.
Which was
really sad.
It is sad. Anyway.
All right. That's weird that we got on that diversion.
I know. But I still love the second and third season of Project Wendy. And the first one, too. Anyway. I still remember scenes and designers and so on.
All right. So we're going to get to the runway and run down our thoughts on each of the pieces. But before we do that, we have to do a special shout out to Aurate, who is sponsoring this portion of the podcast. That's A-U-R-A-T-E. Aurate is fine jewelry made in New York City, founded by women for women. Pieces range from classic to statement to completely original. Aurate makes the jewelry you've always wanted but could never find. Because it's all real gold, you can wear it and never have to take it off. Shower, sport, sleep, cook, anything, it's jewelry for life. All Aurate pieces come with a lifetime warranty because they know it lasts. Because Aurate sells direct to you without the middleman markup, they can offer the same quality as traditional Fifth Avenue brands at a fraction of the cost. Aurate is ethically made in New York City, empowering women with the best jewelry options without sacrificing style. For every piece sold, a child in need receives a book to further their education. It's by women, for women. Aurate was started by two friends during brunch when one got a green finger from an overpriced ring, sparking a conversation about how they were fed up with the traditional jewelry market. Aurate was founded on the desire to shake up that jewelry market by offering modern women beautiful designs, amazing quality at affordable prices, and ethically sourced pieces that they can wear every day. Be your own Valentine this year and treat yourself with new, sustainable jewelry. I know your mother loved the Aurate jewelry that we got for her.
Yes, we got some stuff for my mother, a bracelet and a necklace. She loves them, and my mother is very hard to please when it comes to jewelry.
Yes, much like Lorenzo himself.
Loved it. Love them. Love the
good,
pieces.
Good. Yes. So for 15% off your first Orate purchase, go to orateNewYork.com/TLO and use promo code TLO. That's AURATE NewYork.com/TLO and you get 15% off your first Orate purchase. That's gorgeous, ethically sourced jewelry for women by women. OrateNewYork.com/TLO. Thank you very much, Orate. Okay. Going to the runway, and I'm super hoping I don't have the same problem with my Mac that I had last week when the cursor just disappeared in the middle of watching this episode. So we will, and if anybody out here is an expert on Macs, tell me why that's happening. Okay. First up is Brittany, who actually won the challenge.
Yes, yes, yes.
Go. I can't wait. We didn't watch this together, so I cannot wait to hear what you have to say.
There is a lot of cutout detailing, and then she half... It's
the yellow half-pleated skirt.
Yeah, half-pleated skirt. The other half is the fabric used. And then she used 3D appliques. I mean, like butterfly in 3D.
Yeah, she cut them out of the butterfly print. And
yes, because that's the other thing. They had to pick a fabric, and then they had to get some accessories or embellishments, I'd say.
Yeah.
And when they said that, I was like, oh, here we go. That's when it's going to go
totally
bad.
Lisa
because,
Frank.
Because, you know, when you use those tacky embellishments. Anyway, but she did a very good job. I loved this look. I thought it was editorial. Thought it you could actually wear it if you're a, you know, very fashionable person. Loved everything about it. It's like borderline over-designed.
Yes.
But... it's just beautiful. Everything was beautiful. I just loved it. Loved the whole thing.
It's a style. It's the type of challenge where you really just have to go for it. You're being handed some crazy ass print, and you just have to lean into it and figure out a way to make that look high fashion.
I love the color.
And she, my turn to talk.
Okay.
And she said, and she did that. She really interpreted it in a way that was high fashion. And the yellow pleats and the yellow straps. It's all very overdone, but it is also very of the moment. I know this doesn't seem particularly wearable or retailable in the real world sense, mm-hmm. but it feels very high fashion. And given the materials she was working with, which were not, I think she nailed the challenge.
I think she was the only one that paid homage to the orders. Artist, the print, and came up with something very modern, as you said, and a very interesting design. So I loved her.
Yeah, I was really surprised to see how much she nailed that. Okay.
And then
Next up is Jeffrey. Now listen, I get the club kid sort of inspiration. It just looks like classic club kid wear in a lot of ways. I don't mind the idea behind this ensemble, this dress, this oversized crazy party dress. I just think it looks cheap the way he did it.
Well, I think it looked cheap because he used that metallic fabric as the trim. When you do those oversized dresses, these looks, you have to be very careful with the silhouette, even if it's just one big, tent.
Right.
You still have to cinch it. And I'm glad that Christian said you have to belt this or do something about the waistline. Otherwise, it's just going to look like a big potato.
It was like a Lady Bunny dress.
Yes. Right. Right.
That's what it looked like.
And he was right. But I do like the design. I think the silver.
It's fun.
Not the silver. The gold metallic fabric is a little cheap.
The green metallic.
Oh, is that green? Yes.
Yeah.
Right. It's green. Anyway, the metallic fabric is a little cheap.
That's my problem with it. And the way he used it, it looks like it's tacked up under the skirt instead of an actual, integrated part of the design.
But
it's not the idea that I mind. It's not the shape that I mind. And when you get fabric that's smiley faces and nipples, of course you're going to lean into something a little goofy and wild.
Right.
But I just don't think it felt finished and it looked cheap. It looked, it looked cheap. That's my main issue with it. Next up is Delvin. And I felt a little bad last week because I said Delvin keeps acting like he's above it all. But the judges actually mentioned that this was the first time they had seen him look excited and happy. So,
well, he mentioned something about dealing with depression, right? I think
was that what it was?
Yes,
I didn't know what it was.
He mentioned something about being always depressed, or his designs are kind of depressing, or something about depression.
Okay, so if he's actually dealing with depression, I should shut up. But I'm glad he enjoyed this week.
Yeah, that his looks are not happy or something like that. But I do like this, and it's funny because I usually don't like that type of design, that type of like suit,
right.
Or top and pants. You have to pick the right fabric. If you don't pick the right fabric, then it's always going to look cheap. And I think in this case it was perfect. It didn't look cheap. It just looked kind of like modern and sophisticated. Well,
didn't she say Versace? Very Versace.
Yeah, which I don't agree with her at all. No, Versace is a little more bright and more bold than that.
Okay, fair. But I think the use of print was Versace-like. The way he just let the print be the print. He didn't try and disguise it, didn't try and embellishment.
Right.
He just came up with a good design to showcase it.
He picked the right fabric, the right print for that. And that's why it didn't look cheap. It looked kind of elegant. And it was perfect for her. It's a great look. It's not my favorite, and I would have chosen a different belt buckle. It looked a little cheap, but again, they went.
I like the lapel. I like the proportions. There were a couple instances this week where it just felt like, well, I'll take this fabric and I'll make a basic garment, and that's what I'm going to do with this fabric. Right. And you could apply that here. You could say, well, he did the same thing. He just made a basic pantsuit and he didn't do anything interesting with the print. But I do think, like we said, the proportions, the style, the pink lapel, even the belt buckle, which is borderline, they all really work in service to that print really well. There's a difference between I'll just make some basic dress out of a print and I'm going to find the best garment and the best proportions. Right. So it's an ugly print. And like you, I don't love wildly printed pantsuits top and bottom. But it worked. It just inexplicably worked.
You have to pick the right fabric or the right print, you know, because most of the time it just looks cheap.
And I also think, except for maybe the pink shoes, which I would have waved him away from, the styling's on point. Her hair and makeup look great.
No, she looked very
sophisticated. Yeah, she looked well put together.
Right.
It didn't all feel random. It felt like he knew what he was doing.
Next one, Marquise.
Marquise.
I do like the idea of this with the yellow sleeves.
We're not describing these. He had a bird print.
Yes.
And he did a long oversized bomber and a skirt and a white blouse and go.
He added some embellishments on the
bees on the
bees on the... bee embellishments on the blouse. And it was horribly made, the blouse, the top, and then it just looked overwhelming. Like the fabric, it's doing all the talk here.
I didn't get the concept. There was no concept. It just felt like random. All right, I'll make this coat and then I'll make this skirt. It just didn't feel like a look.
I like I said, I do like the sleeves, the yellow sleeves.
I did too. It was the one thing I really liked.
It was a nice element, but it's poorly made, poorly fitted on her. It was a little too much. You don't know what to look at. I mean, it's the skirt and then the top and kind of coat. I'm assuming that's a coat. It didn't work for me.
Next up is Nancy, who is falling into a trap of just making a big-ass coat every week.
Well,
irony is that underneath, it took the judges to point out, she had a really cute outfit on that girl.
She had a print that was a little challenging. It had a penis on it.
A dildo.
A dildo, sorry. And then she, you know, she didn't want to hear... She didn't want to listen to Christian Siriano, and she didn't want to, you know, she didn't want to talk about it. It was all about, and she said, I tend to do oversized pieces, and then I like to do oversized coats that anyone can wear. Which what? No, there's no coat out there.
If that's the only garment you're going to make every week, then you're very limited.
And there's no coat out there that will fit everybody.
No, that's not how garments work.
That'll be okay, or that'll look great on everybody. No, that's not how it works.
It was way too big on the model. And again, as everyone pointed out, the outfit underneath was actually really cute and might have been enough.
Right. The pants were great. They look great with the very basic top, sleeveless top. But the coat, it was just way too much fabric, overwhelming this poor girl.
I also think her accent fabric was a poor choice. Pink with this.
Right.
There's so many. Pink is the dominant color in the print, but there's also a million other colors. So you should have pulled out a green or a blue or a yellow.
I think she wanted to go with a dildo color.
I guess, but that's more of a reason to find another accent color than, you know what I mean, than just making it all. I just didn't think going pink was the most sophisticated choice in terms of color.
I do feel that it styling-wise, if you're going with that type of coat, you have to wear, like, you know, some capri pants or something.
You can't wear the huge oversized pants with the huge oversized coat.
Everything oversized.
The proportions looked awful.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what size you are. It's just overwhelming to look at. And she, that's what she does, and she likes to do that type of oversized everything, and she's going to keep doing it.
Next up is Chelsea. Now, this is an example of, I'll just take this and make a dress out of it. She tried to do a few interesting things, but
it looks so basic.
It's just a very basic long sleeve dress, which she used like a silver blue accent fabric. You know, it's look at Nina's face, bored out of her mind. She didn't do anything with it.
No, it's a very basic dress. It's a dress, right?
Yeah, and it doesn't highlight, like, unlike Delvin's pantsuit, which was a somewhat basic pantsuit, this is not really highlighting the print in any real way.
And you can't see the design. She did some like pleating and stuff, and you can't see it because of the fabric. And it's a very basic design. It's something, you know, sometimes you see something coming down the runway and it doesn't even register because it's so basic.
I'm afraid a lot of Chelsea's work has been like that.
You've seen that look or that style so many times that you're just like, all right. It reminds me of like attending Fashion Week when you attend like 80 shows and you're like, all right, next.
Right.
Because you're just not impressed with it. It has to catch your eye, I think. Anyway, that's how I feel about designs in general.
Agreed. Next up is Victoria. I will say,
Victoria,
outside the confines of this challenge and outside, if you take this garment on her own and you had no idea what else she had already done in the competition, it is an interesting design. But it relies way too much on elements she has been using every single week in the competition, and it's just a bad use of the print.
Well, for her attitude sucked.
I'm sorry, but we should describe. She did pants with a striped floral, and then the top, she barely used the floral at all. It's white. It's got kind of an activewear vibe. There's a cutout at the abdomen and a cutout at the side, and it's got all the weird flappy things hanging off.
Her choices were all wrong. First of all, she picked the fabric, and then immediately she says, I don't like flowers. All right, why did you pick one with a flower on it?
Right.
To start. And then her whole attitude and, you know, I don't like prints, I don't do prints, blah, blah, blah. Cheer up. Anyway, and then she designed something that's pretty much the same thing she sent down the runway every single week.
Yeah.
It's the same design.
Except it's pants this time.
The same design over and over and over again. And some other designers were saying the same thing. I mean, it doesn't matter what she does. She's going to do the same silhouette, and the judges are going to love it. And boy, in this case, this time the judge didn't.
They finally reached the limit with her.
Yeah, because it gets to a point like, all right, this is the same thing, just different fabric.
Elaine Welteroth was reading her for filth, but I actually really agreed with Elaine because she was getting annoyed with the fact that if Victoria doesn't like the challenge, she just ignores the challenge.
I do like the pants in a way, the way she did the pants with using the fabric, but the top, it's like makes no sense. It's poorly made. She incorporated
it's
the floral.
Way over designed.
She did some of the trimming with a print just to please Christian. She wasn't really into it, and you can tell. I mean, it's the type of thing that you design with a lot of hate.
Yes. Oh my God, that's so true. There was so much anger in that design.
That's exactly. You know, when you do something with a lot of
hate.
It
was such an angry little design.
But you have to do it anyway. That's it.
You look at something like Jeffrey's and it's pure joy and exuberance. And then you look at Victoria's and she's just pissed.
You see Brittany happy.
Thrilled out the wazoo.
And here's Victoria.
Yeah. Next up is Dai Young's, and despite all the drama, it's gorgeous. In fact, I would call this was my favorite. She did a...
really interesting.
Yes, she did a dress with a lot of strappy things, and she used a purple accent fabric, and that was one of the things that stood out for me. I'm hung up on this, of course, is what accent fabric you use for a print, and Nancy went for pink, and I was like, what a boring... you know, pedestrian choice with that fabric. But to look at that print and go, I'm pulling out an eggplant.
Right.
That's a really good color sense. And it really highlighted the fabric well. Is it over-designed? Yes. But I like how she incorporates bits of Asian design elements in her designs without being constantly referential about it. Without being too essentialist, I feel like I would look at this and assume that the designer was Asian if I didn't know anything about her.
It you can tell that she thought about it, and then there's some design.
Look at the split back. Yeah. That's gorgeous.
Yeah. It's well constructed. Design elements, and it was just pretty. I do agree that the bow tie thing was a
terrible idea. And the way she used those, whatever those flower embellishments were, I thought the idea of those flower embellishments were cute, and then the camera pulls out and she lined them up like military medals.
Yeah, I noticed that too.
And I was like, oh, that's not how you should do it.
But she definitely deserved to be one of the top designers.
Yeah.
It was her, Brittany, and Delvin.
Yeah.
And I do think they were the best ones.
I agree with the judges.
And I do agree with the judges that Victoria, Nancy, and Marquise were not great.
Yeah.
Next
up is this is Sergio, right? The big reveal?
Yes. And
I did not mind this, I got to say.
It's okay.
I mean, it looks like an Oscar de la Renta dress from about 10 years ago.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Wow. Yes. Good for you.
Hey, I am a fashion blogger, bitch.
That is.
But the whole, back and everything, I'm like, yeah, that looks a lot like Oscar de la Renta from about 10 years ago.
Oh, my God. Nailed it.
Thank you, sweetie. I hope you're listening, Nina, and I hope you're impressed by that.
Oh, my God. You're so right. That is a vintage Oscar de la Renta dress.
It is.
Oh, my God.
Well, I think
yes.
He sees himself as an Oscar de la Renta type.
Please.
And this is the first time where I'm like, okay, well, that's close. I know Brandon likes to make fun of reveals, and there's something very draggy about them, but this one worked. Conceptually, it was cocoon to butterfly,
right?
And he managed both without being costumey. It's kind of a shame he didn't get to explain that to the judges because they waved him through
and
safely.
He was very annoyed,
but that was also correct because there were three better than him.
Right,
but this
right.
was probably the best thing he's done on the show,
which is not saying a lot.
Which is not saying well. And the best thing he did on the show was 10-year-old Oscar de la Renta. So that's not exactly the most, the highest praise anyone could get. Anyway,
so Brittany won, which is great. I really liked hers. I thought it was definitely my favorite.
Yeah,
loved the whole thing. And sometimes it's hard to tell what they're doing in the workroom, and I could tell in the workroom already that it was going to be great.
Yeah.
And it was a great... She was happy. She was pleased.
She got on my nerves, but I came around. I did come around.
Oh, she loves Ashley.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Ashley.
No. Brittany.
Brittany.
She's a fan.
Yeah.
She understands who she is. And
right.
She paid homage to her artistry. I think it was beautiful. Beautiful collaboration. They both work really well. Yeah, and Marquise. I'm surprised they sent Marquise. I guess because they want to keep Sergio for more drama.
Well, Sergio didn't do badly
this
week.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's right. No, I meant Victoria for more drama.
Yeah, because she's probably going to tear into Dai Young next week.
Yes, because that was a bad look.
But anyway,
they send Marquise.
A decent episode, I
think. Yeah, you know.
With some entertaining results.
I actually like this group. I actually like the designers in general.
I do, too.
I think it's a good season. I hope we have another one, but who knows? Anyway.
We'll see. I haven't heard bad things. I do think I'm a little underwhelmed with how Bravo is promoting this, but I don't know what that means.
I don't know.
All
yes.
their money is tied up in these horrible reality, these housewife type shows that I
oh my God,
literally
yes.
never watch.
I never watch them. But anyway, that was a great episode, I thought. And yeah, that's it, folks.
That's it. Another week gone by with our opinions. Would love to hear your opinions on everything we just said. And until now, one more thing about the book. I'm going to say this every week. If you work for a bookseller and you would love a gift wrapped copy of our book with a note from us to you, please send us your name, the name of the store that you work for, and its address to TLO@TomAndLorenzo.com with the subject line bookseller, and we will get one out to you pronto because we love our book and we love what you guys do. So please, please, please. And if you know a bookseller, please ask them to contact us. Anyway, love you all. Mean it. Thank you for listening in once again, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.